Right, morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Gimel in Shavuos. Yesterday we started the Masechta, and we got our way through the Mishnah. The Mishnah, the first perek, is not broken up, but rather all the Mishnahs are provided for us on daf Beis. So we went through all the Mishnahs yesterday of the first perek of Shavuos. And what we learned yesterday is that the first two perekim of Shavuos is not about Shavuos. First two perekim of Shavuos, which we started yesterday, is about Yedias HaTuma, knowledge of or lack of or awareness and unawareness of being tame while walking into the Beis HaMikdash or while eating Basar Kodesh, eating the meat of sacrifices. That's going to be the topic of the first two perekim of Shavuos. So why is it here? So that's basically where we're going to start this morning. So we'll start this morning on the Gemara on the bottom of the page. Gemara on Daf, Beis Amud Beis, last two lines. Smirti. So the Gemara starts off with, as follows. Tanri Makos Salah. So we just finished Makos, meaning if you look at the order of the Seder Nezikin, we've been in Seder Nezikin for a long time. I can't remember when we started Seder Nezikin. It started with Baba Kama, and we've now gone through the Bavas, Baba Kama and Siyam Basra. We've gone through Sanhedrin, and that already took, even in the Daf Yomi cycle, took still over a year to get through all that. And then after Sanhedrin, we went through a short Masechta called Makos. So Tanami Makos Salak. So we just ended with Makos. So Maishna did Nishvus. Oh, there we go. There's a calendar. Maishna did Nishvus and we did Nishvus. So why Shvus next on the list? Now I think, and I'm not sure if what I'm saying is about to be correct, but I think the Gemara is not asking why is Shvuros in Seder Nezikin, because as we're going to learn later on when we actually get to the heart of Shvuos, so we're going to learn later on the Masechta, Shvuos has a lot to do with judges and Dayanim, right? One of the parakim is in fact called Shvuos Adayanim, Shvuos Adayanim. Shavuos Ha'edos, Shavuos has a lot to do with court proceedings and judicial process. So it makes perfect sense that Shavuos is going to be part of Seder Nezikin. The Gemara is not asking that question. What the Gemara is asking is, how come it's Makos and followed by Shavuos? Shavuos doesn't necessarily have to be the next Masechta in Seder Nezikin. So how come Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, when he put the Masechtas together, the order became Sanhedrin followed then by Makos followed then by Shavuos? That pretty much is the Gemara's question. Certainly stands that way from Rashi. Rashi, when he explains the Gemara's question, he says, "Kach seder ha-mishna shvus achar makos." Why shvus after makos? Right, it's a very specific question, and not a general question of why shvus instead of nezikin. Okay, so mishum nitni. So the Gemara gives an interesting answer. In other words, it's going to find a link, and it's not going to be a strong link that connects us from the end of makos to the beginning of Shavuos, didn't he? What did we learn? What was the last things we learned at Makos? Hair care, remember? One of the last things we learned at Makos was all about grooming. Chayav al rosh tayim, achas mikan, v'achas mikan. If you get a haircut and you chop off your payas, your sideburns, so the Mishnah in Makos told us you're going to be chayav. One for each payah. You'll get a separate set of lashes for each payah. The ala zekan, we're now on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. And then there's another prohibition in the Torah of not shaving your facial hair. And there are five corners of the face. Shtai mikan, two on this side. Shtai mikan, two on this side. And one below, one is the chin. Right? We talked about where exactly the location is of the five corners. We also spoke about how we're unsure where these five corners are, subject to a debate amongst the Rishonim. But anyway, Chada Demechayev Alatarti. The point is as follows, that when we learned the end of Makos, we learned about one prohibition that translates into two Isurim, right? The Torah says, Lo Sakifu Pas Roshchem. Don't cut off the corner of your head. And meanwhile, if one person cuts off both corners of his head, or has somebody else do it, and he assisted, and, right, exactly what the details are, it's one prohibition in the Torah that translates into two Isurim. So you see that at the end of Makos, we have this concept of one becoming two. So once we have this concept of one becoming two, we know that Shavuos opens up with two becoming four. So since conceptually Makos ends where Shavuos begins, so that's why Makos and Shavuos goes hand in hand. So let's see this inside the Gemara. Chad de Mechayv al Atarte, Tanis Shavuos, Shtayim Shehein Arba. Okay? So it's not, as I mentioned, going into this question and answer, it's not a strong link. It's not really a link in topics. It's not the same topic at all. Makos has to do with getting lashes. Shavuos, the beginning of Shavuos has to do with going into the base of Mikdash while Tameh. It's not a strong link. They're not linked by theme, but there is a concept of one becoming two, and the beginning of Shavuos, two becoming four. Okay. Maishna hacha didni lehu lekulu, umaishna gabi yitzir Shabbos, and maras negam delo katena lekulu. Another question. When we opened up yesterday with Shavuos, we learned about four different halachas. We learned about the halach of Yediyas HaTumah, walking into the base of Mikdash while in the state of Tumah. We learned about Yitzias HaShabbos. We learned about Shavuos, making an oath, both on something in the future and on something in the past. Right? We learned about Yitzias HaShabbos, taking something out on Shabbos, from Malach of Hosa'ah, and Negayim. And different forms of leprosy, two principal categories of tzaras, which can then become two subcategories. Yeah? So the Gemara's next question is as follows. How come it is that our Maseches deals with two of those four topics? First two Perakim of Shavuos deals with Tumah. The last six Perakim of Shavuos deals with the topic of Shavuos. And the Masechta ignores Shabbos. And it ignores Negayim. Okay? Next question of the Gemara. So let's see this again inside. Mishnah de Gabi Yitzir Shabbos Amaras Negayim de Lo Ketani Lohu Lekulu. So Amrei. So the Gemara says, so the answer goes like this. Shavuos v'yediyas atuma de Gabi Hadad de Ksivin v'damyan ahadadi b'karban ola v'yareid tenu lohu Gabi Hadadi. Okay? It goes like this. Shavuos and Yediyas atuma are linked. They're connected. First of all, they're found together in the same parsha in Chumash, like we said over yesterday. At the end of Parshas Vayikra in Perek Hay, you're going to find that Yediyas HaTumah, this idea of becoming tameh and walking into the Beis HaMikdash, and the idea of making a shvua sheker, making a false oath, are right next to one another. Not only that, the consequence of both of them are going to be the same. If I violate either one of them, I'm going to be chayv a carbon ola v'yareid, the special carbon, depending on the person's financial worth. The idi detane, back to the Gemara, detarte tanekulo. Now, those two really now become linked and become the main topics of our Masechta. Now, the other two, Shabbos and Negayim, they have really nothing to do, other than the fact that they fit into the category of two, which becomes four. So they get honorable mention in our Mishnah, but that's not really the main purpose and focus of our Mishnayos, of our Masechta. Okay? So that's why Shabbos and Negayim, although gets mentioned, gets a cameo, but that's it. It's not really the main topic. The main topics of this Masechta are Shavuos and Tumah, specifically because they're mentioned together in Parshas Vayikra, and they both have the carbon Olah V'Yareid. Okay, next. Just a little more bookkeeping. Pasuk b'Shavuos Mefarsh Yediyas HaTumah. Another thing that is interesting. If you go back to the Mishnah, and you look at the order of the Mishnah, the first thing mentioned in the Mishnah is Shavuos, Shtayim Shein Arba. The second thing is Yediyas HaTumah, Shtayim Shein Arba. And then, so the order, it's A-B. A being Shavuos, B being Yediyas HaTumah. Then, as the Mishnahs unroll, then the Mishnahs go and discuss Yediyas HaTumah. Two Perakim of Yediyas HaTumah, and then only after that, six Perakim of Shavuos. So it went A-B, and then in terms of explication, it went B-A, right? Which is a bizarre order. Should go A-B followed then by A-B. Why does the Mishnahs do that? And that's exactly what the Gemara is asking. Pasach b'Shavuos, it opens up with Shavuos, Omifarash Yediyas HaTumah. And meanwhile, when it comes to explication, it starts explaining Yediyas HaTumah. So the Gemara explains like this. Aidi dezutran milayu, pasik sharilahu, v'hadar tini Shavuos, denefisha milayu. Look, there's not really a lot to talk about when it comes to Yediyas HaTumah. The Gemara says it's zutrayon, it's small. It's a small body of information. Right? It's a mini chapter, if you will. So, what the Mishnahis would like to do, what Rabbi Yehuda Anasi would like to do, is get it out of the way. I know it's not a nice way to talk about when we're talking about halacha and Torah, but just in terms of how to package information and how to present information, let's do the stuff that is smaller, stuff that we can just simply go through in a shorter period of time, which is Yedias HaTumah, and there's only two prakim of that, in Daf Yomi terminology, 3 weeks of Yedias HaTumah, and then after that, after we finish with that, then we're going to go back to Shavuos, the main body of information contained in this Masechta, and then we'll go over and we'll spend a significant more amount of time, three quarters of our Masechta, on the topic of Shavuos. Okay, and finally, one more question. Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba, Shtayim She'ochel V'Shelo Ochel Shein Arba. One more question. Then the Mishnah over here, the Gemara over here, just simply gives us the simple pshat in our Mishnah, which, truth of the matter is, we already said over yesterday. It's very good to go over today. Yesterday we just did a lot of information. Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba. What is two that becomes four by Shavuos? Shtayim, the two principal categories of Shavua is She'ochel U'Shelo Ochel. Right? I will eat this loaf of bread or I will not eat that loaf of bread, and I make a Shavua to that effect. Right? That is your two primary categories of Shavuos. What is your subcategories? What is your secondary categories? Shein Arba, Achalti U'Shelo Achalti. That is either I ate or I did not eat. You make a shvua. You see that loaf of bread over there? Right? I ate that loaf of... Well, we can't see it if I'm saying I ate it. There was a loaf of bread over there. Where did it go? I swear that I ate it. Right? And meanwhile, I didn't eat it. So that would be a shvua shelo achalti. I did not eat it. Or, let's say, right, the... Where did that loaf of bread go? Who ate it? I made a shvua shelo achalti. I didn't eat it when meanwhile I ate it. Okay? Why are those secondary categories? So we discussed yesterday, because the Pasuk talks about lehara o lehitiv. The Torah talks about shvua sheker in the future. So these secondary categories of in the past, they're not explicitly mentioned in Chumash. Shavuos Shav.
Yeah.
They're related. They're related. So we're going to later on this morning, we'll talk about the relationship. Okay? Very good. Yedias HaTumah, Shtayim Shein Arba. When it comes to Yedias HaTumah, so it's two main categories and two subcategories. Shtayim, Yedias Tumas Kodesh, V'Yedias Tumas Mikdash. I knew that was the base of Mikdash. I knew that what I was holding in my hand was Basa Kodesh, meat of sacrifices. What I didn't know, or what I forgot, is that I'm Tameh. I became unaware. I lapsed into an unawareness of me being Tameh. So those are your two primary categories. What are your secondary categories? Shein Arba, Kodesh U'Mikdash. I remembered I was Tameh. I never lapsed into that unawareness. But what I forgot is that what I'm eating is right now Basar Kodesh. Or what I forgot is that this area over here is the base of Mikdash. Okay? Those are your secondary categories. Now, we're just going to go through all four of them. You see a Shabbos time Shein Arba, Shtayim Hotza'a, the Ani, the Hotza'a, the Balabais. When it comes to Hotza'a, the two primary categories is Hotza'a. We're going to have, this is the first Mishnah in Shabbos, we're going to have the Balabais standing on the inside of the house, the Ani standing on the outside of the house. Hotza'a means I take something from a Rishus Yachid inside the house to the Rishus Rabim to outside the house. I can go either by the Balabais picking it up and putting it, depositing it in the hands of the Ani. That's one way we could do it. Or I could have the Ani reaching in, picking it up, and bringing it outside. That's another way of doing it. Two ways of doing Hotza'a by the Ani. Two ways of doing Hotza'a, which Shein Arba Hachnasa. And the other way to go is Hachnasa. Hachnasa is bringing it in. And the ani v'achnasa de balabais. And again, it's going to be the same thing. Either the poor man is going to put his basket, which he's hopefully going to get filled, is going to bring it inside, or the balabais picks it up from the ani and brings it inside the house. Okay. And finally, last and not least, Mars Nagayim, Shnaim Shein Arba, Shnaim, your two main ones are Se'is and Baharis. These are different shades of Tzara'as. Shein Arba, which turns into two, Seis Vitoldasa, Baharis Vitoldasa. Subcategory of Seis and the subcategory of Baharis, period. Okay? A lot of just bookkeeping, technical aspects about the Mishnah, the order of the Mishnah, why our Mishnah followed the previous Masechta. Okay, a lot of technical aspects. Okay. Now we will start to focus and turn our attention onto the Mishnah itself. Okay. The Gemara now, for the remainder of today, is going to try to make the determination of authorship. Who is the author of our Mishnah? Well, we know who edited the Mishnayos. It's Rav Yehuda Nasi. Fine. But when Rav Yehuda Nasi compiles the Mishnayos together, so we assume, by almost every Mishnah, that there's one singular author to a Mishnah. Okay? And what makes that challenging over here is some information which the Gemara is going to introduce us to. Mani Mas Nisan. Who is our Mishnah going like? So, we're going to knock out Lo Rabbi Yishmael, but Lo Rabbi Akiva. Can't be Rabbi Yishmael, can't be Rabbi Akiva. Now, why not? E Rabbi Yishmael Ha'amar No Chayv Ela Al Asid Lavo. Okay, so I'll tell you why it can't be Rabbi Yishmael. Because we'll learn later on in the Masechta, within the first two Parakim, that Rabbi Yishmael is of the opinion that there are only two cases of Shavua. Li Asid, for the future. There is no such thing as Shavua L'Sha'avar. Okay? Kipshuto, that is Rabbi Yishmael, although later on we'll refine our understanding about Rabbi Yishmael. Okay? So according to Rabbi Yishmael, by Shavuos, it's not Shtayim Shein Arba. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's just Shtayim. They're just two cases. The two cases are either I will eat this loaf of bread and I make a Shavuot to that effect, or I make a Shavuot that I won't eat that loaf of bread. Two in the future. But there, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there is no L'Sha'avar. L'Sha'avar is only learned out through a drasha, and Rabbi Shmuel does not hold of that drasha. Okay? So our Mishnah can't be Rabbi Shmuel. E Rabbi Akiva Hamar al Halam Tumahu Chayev, the Enu Chayev al Halam Mikdash. Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that you're going to be Chayev on Halam Tumah if you become unaware that you're Tameh and you walk into the Beis HaMikdash and you know this is the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to be Chayev. However, Rabbi Akiva does not agree with the reverse. You know that this is the base. You know that you're Tameh, but you forget that this is the base of Mikdash. Rabbi Akiva does not expound that case as being a case of Yediyas HaTumah. He does not feel that that is an Isser Kares. Okay, and again, we'll see this later in Rabbi Akiva as well.
Even the first time.
Yeah. Meaning what?
You walk into the
base of Mikdash. You know you're Tameh. Right, so he doesn't see. He doesn't hold that's an Isser Kares. So and he doesn't and right. He doesn't hold it's an Isser Kares. Fine. So according to Rabbi Kiva, so then our Mishnah also doesn't work out because our Mishnah whole says Yedisa Tumah Shtayim Shein Arba, right? Two cases which then become four. According to Rabbi Kiva, it's only two. It's not four. Okay. So our Mishnah is not consistent with Rabbi Yishmael. Our Mishnah is not consistent with Rabbi Akiva. Fine. So the Gemara gives a first attempt at an answer, and Gemara's first attempt goes like this: E by Sema Rabbi Shmuel, mehen lechiva mehen leftur. V by Sema Rabbi Akiva, mehen lechiva mehen leftur. So the Gemara's first attempt of an answer is: Look, our Mishnah is saying that there are by Yedias HaTumah four cases, by Shavuos there are four cases. But what our Mishnah is not saying is that you're going to be chayiv for every one of those cases. Meaning that according to Rabbi Yishmael, when it comes to Shavuo, there are four cases of Shavuo, but some of them you're going to be chayiv and some of them you're going to be pater. Okay? When it comes to... It's going to sound semantics, but there are four cases, Rabbi Yishmael says, but of those four cases, two of them is an Issa in the Torah, and two of them are not an Issa in the Torah. Okay? Or, according to Rabbi Akiva, there are four categories of Yediyas HaTumah, two of them is an Issa in the Torah, and two of them are not an Issa in the Torah. Okay, that's the Gemara's proposal as to how we're going to be able to read our Mishnah, either going like Rabbi Akiva or going like Rabbi Yishmael. Gemara says no. Liftor, hadumi demars negayim. Look, Look at the other cases in the Mishnah, right? There are two other cases in the Mishnah, Shabbos and Nega. Now, when the Mishnah says Shabbos, Shtaim Shein Arba, all four of those cases are Yisurim, like bona fide Yisurim. When it comes to Negayim, two cases, the Ace and Baheras, which turn into four. The subcategories, the sub-shades, are also tzaras, like real tzaras, not like some rabbinic tzaras, it's tzaras min haTorah. So if you're doing a simple comparison in our Mishnah, and you see that there's a total of four cases in our Mishnah, and the latter two cases, Shabbos and Negayim and tzaras, all four of them are real chiyuvim, so the first two also. All four of the cases, right, the first two cases are also going to be all chiyuvim. It's interesting, the Gemara immediately goes to Nega, right? It's, right, in other words, in the Mishnah, if you go back to the Mishnah, it's Shvua, Tuma, Shabbos, Nega. And then when the Gemara asks this question over here, the Gemara immediately jumps all the way down to Nega, it skips over Shabbos. Right, the top toast was sensitive to this. Right, Hadalo Parch Mitzias Hashabbos Mishum Diyitzias Gufaylo Yadin and Dave Bechulu Chiyuva Ela Midumya Demarth Negam Lekam and Bepirkin. So we'll see a couple days from now that even by Shabbos we're not 100% sure. Had it not been for the fact that Nega was there, Nega really is the case that is absolute and unequivocally Chiyuv. It's going to be Taras for all four cases. Okay, we'll see that later on in the Gemara. Anyway, fine. So, we are back at our question. Our question is a very straightforward question. We know that Rabbi Yishmael only holds two cases of Shavuos. We know that Rabbi Akiva only holds two cases of Tumas Nega. Sorry, not Nega. Yediyas HaTuma. So, who is Mamisha going like? It doesn't seem to be going like Rabbi Akiva, nor does it seem to be going like Rabbi Yishmael. La'olam Rabbi Yishmael. Okay. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah is going to go like Rabbi Yishmael. And what we're going to do now is we're going to refine our understanding of Rabbi Yishmael. On the previous page, we said that regarding Rabbi Yishmael, he holds that there are only two and not four. Gemara says we're going to temper our understanding. La'olam Rabbi Yishmael v'chilam echav Rabbi Yishmael l'sha'avar karban aval malkus chiyuve mechayev. Okay, Rabbi Yishmael, it's true that saying a shvur for the future is not saying this is not the same thing as a shvur l'sha'avar, a shvur for the past. It's true they're not the same, but they're both isurei d'oraisa. They're both biblical prohibitions. It's just that the punishment is not exactly the same for the future. If I make a shvur for the future, meaning this loaf of bread, I make a shvur either that I will or I won't eat it. For the future, that is lahara uleitiv. If I violate my shvua, so then I'm going to have to bring a karban. That's the pasuk in the Torah. That's the end of Sefer, the end of Parshas Vayikra. That's the karban ol v'yored. What about the past? If I made a shvua l'sha'avar, there was a loaf of bread over there. I swear I didn't eat it, and meanwhile I was the one who ate it. So that is an issur Torah, but no karban. It's just an issur Torah with no karban. Interesting, he says, "L'shava karban of a malkus chiyuv mechayiv." You're going to be chayiv malkus. You're going to get malkus. The malkus we'll discuss in just a moment. Okay, but it's so our Mishnah can still read like Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel's only distinction between future versus past is a distinction of karban, but they're both issurei d'oraisa. Shogeg could be, it's not gonna be that satisfying, but shogeg could be, I didn't know it was usher. Meaning, I know...
No, you're making a shvua now. I didn't eat that cake.
Right. And
you know that it's usher to make it.
Meaning, you, right, and you lapse, your shogeg lapse can be a lapse in, I didn't know that was usher.
To make a full shvua?
Right. Right. At one point, you sat there and you learned that it was usher, and then you lapsed into an unawareness of I know it was usher. That could be a shogeg.
You're going to say that you didn't know that it was forbidden to lie about it,
huh?
Are you saying
right?
You didn't realize
right. Not that you never knew, because well, that's not a. But you knew at one point, and then you forgot that it was usher. Okay, fine. So that's the difference. Ukidarava. Okay, now here we go. And this is gonna we're gonna get to your discussion of defining a shvur l'sha'avar. Ukidarava damarava befeish ripsa Torah shvur sheker. The Torah explicitly included shvur sheker, dumi de shvur shav. Mashav l'sha'avar, av sheker nami l'sha'avar. Okay. The shvur shav is for the past. Shvur sheker is also going to be for the past. Okay, let's do this. Let's go through Rashi together, because what Rashi does really is help us really get a good understanding of what is shvur sheker, what shvur shav, right? And it's interesting because this is really not our topic. Our topic for the first two prakim of shvuos is going to be tuma and yedias tuma, but we are right now in the discussion of who's the author of our Mishnah. We're now saying that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yishmael, even though he maintains that there's a difference between future and past, but still, even according to Rabbi Yishmael, making a shvur in the past is still an Issa da'araisa. So now let's spend the time discussing what is a shvur sheker, what is a shvur shav, what's the difference between them, and what's the consequence of doing either one. Okay, shvur sheker is easy. Shvur sheker is, I lied. I spoke an untruth. And it can work either for the future or for the past. Meaning, I could say, I will do such and such, and meanwhile, you never do it. Okay. Granted, by the way, the problem there is going to be...
That's the same thing as a promise for the future, not what they're doing.
Right. No. I'm saying that's a shvur sheker. We're talking about the same thing. It's a shvur sheker. I'm making an oath about something that's going to happen in the future. Lahara or lahetiv, either to do something or not to do something. Or I can make a...
He has to have the intention that he's not going to do it, because how could it be not to? If, when the time reaches that point, it becomes, again, a past thing.
No, but I understand though, but the events is going to now, we're going to look back at the shvuah. The shvuah was made before the event takes place, or the lack of event takes place. Conversely, I could talk about something that happened in the past and make a shvur about something that happened in the past. That's also a shvur sheker. So who ate that piece of bread? So I swear it wasn't me. I did not eat that piece of bread. So again, we could be taught that's a case of shvur sheker. And in that case over there, I'm lying about something, assuming I'm lying. I'm lying about something that either happened or did not happen in the past. That's shvur sheker. Okay, so sheker is a shvur that I make, which is an untrue shvur. Either it happened already and I made the shvur, or I'm making the shvur now and it's what happens in the future is not what I swore was going to happen. Okay. Then there's something called shvur shav. Shvur shav is similar, Ben points out, similar to shvur sheker, but it's not the same. Shvur shav is that I make a shvur. What is this desk made out of? It's a wood, it's a composite. Okay, I say it's gold. Okay? This desk over here is gold. And I make a shvur to that effect. I simply get up there and I say, it's idiotic, it's moronic, but I get up there and I say, this is a gold desk, and I make an oath to that as well. That's a shvur shav. Okay.
Kind of like meaningless.
It's, right.
I thought shvur shav is it's obvious that it's wood and you're swearing that's wood. That's shvur shav. Shvur sheker is that it's wood and you're saying it's gold.
Right.
Sheker is, right.
Well, no. Shav is, it's obvious to everybody. No, exactly. We're saying the same thing. Shav is, it's obvious to everybody that it's wood. Right? In fact, I could see a little bit of wood over here. Some of it got rubbed out, but I see it's wood over here. And I'm swearing, even though it's obviously that I'm wrong, I'm swearing that it's gold. That's shvur shav.
I thought shav is needless. It's a needless and it's obvious that wood is wood.
Right.
Sheker is that it's wood and you're saying it, and everybody knows it's wood and you're saying it's gold and that's sheker.
No, sheker is not, it's not obvious. Sheker is something that's not obvious to everybody. Shav is something that's obvious to everybody and I make a shvur to the contrary.
Shav is in the present.
Now, right, So if we're going to try to compartmentalize and say, where does Shav? Shav for the future, Shav in the past? Well, really the truth of the matter is Shav is its own category. But if I'm going to make it similar to either one, right, if I'm going to tie it, connect it to Atid or Avar, to the future, to the past, so which one would I be more apt to connect it to? Right, open-ended question. Past sounds.
Why not present? sounds like Sheker was something Shabbos.
Okay.
Fine.
So let's see all this now in Rashi. Okay, Uki Derava. Rashi writes Klomar. The im tamar la shein bo maisa hu vein lokin alav. So now what are you gonna tell me? You're gonna tell me, right, we're looking at a Mishnah, and we're saying that our Mishnah belongs to Rabbi Yishmael. And Rabbi Yishmael, even though he holds that there are only two shvuos min HaTorah, in Parshas Vayikra, going on the future, Rabbi Yishmael maintains that there's two other ones as well, without a karban. And those are for the past. Now, im tom alav sheim b'maisa hu vein lokin alav. What do you mean? It's a lav sheim b'maisa. I'm speaking. Speaking is not a maisa. So you don't get malchus for that. Vein lokin alav. Al ze lokin, kidderava. Did the paragimel amrinan shalokin al shvua shav. Okay? When we get to the third parak, because the third parak is really the beginning of shvuos, right? We're going to learn that you get malchus for shvua shav. Now you're just talking. You're saying moronic things. You're saying idiotic things, but you're just talking. Well, just one second. One step at a time. Shvua shav, you're not doing anything. You're just making a shvua. Right, pointless, baseless statements, but you're going to get malchus. The alfinan, we learned it out later on. We get to the third parak. Michi lo yinakeh Hashem. Right, Hashem will not cleanse you. Right, Hashem udelo yinakeh va beisin malkin oso umenakin oso. So the Torah is basically telling us that when it comes to shvur shav, Hashem is not the cleansing agent. Beisin's the cleansing agent. So Beisin is basically told, even though this is a lav shem b'maisa, but based on you have the obligation, the responsibility to give malchus. Uparchinan Allah. And over there, Rashi gives us basically a play-by-play of the third parak of Shavuos. Ashkechan Shavuos Shavuhu Nishba L'shanos Siyadua Kegon Al Ha'ishehu Isha V'Al Ha'Even Shehu Zahav Dishav Mashma. I'm sorry, Dishav Mashma Davar She'eino Shel Klum. The definition of shav is basically something that is pointless and baseless, and right, you just made a nonsense statement. Right, that guy over there, it's a girl. Now I know in our day and age, right, it could be, but still, in other words, we're talking about a case that what's obvious, we know that's a guy, it's not a girl, right? Or we know that's stone, that's not gold, and you get up there and you tell people, no, that's gold. Okay, I swear it's gold. That's shvur shav. The shav mashma davar she'eino shoklum kemo the pasuk in Yeshayahu Moshe ha'aven bechevlei hashav. Right, shav is just pointless, baseless. Okay, now, so we know that when it comes to shvur shav, you're going to get malchus. It is a lav she'ein bo ma'isa. There's no action, but yet we have a special ribui hakra, special gzeiros hakasav that you're going to get malchus for shav.
Do we need
that shvuah? Yeah. Yes. You have to warn him. Right. Don't make that shvuah. Shvuah sheker menalan. Shvuah she'eino nikar im emes im lav. Now, what about shvuah sheker? So first of all, what is shvuah sheker? So Rashi over here defines shvuah she'eino nikar im emes im lav. When the person says it, the observer does not know, is he telling the truth or is he not telling the truth? We don't know. Meaning we have to investigate the matter. The amrinan lishav beis pa'amim. So later on, the Gemara will tell us it says the word shav two times in the parsha. Im eino inyan l'shvur shav, taneu inyan l'shvur sheker. Okay, so by shvur shav, we already know that you're going to get malchus based on a special gzeiros hakasav. We have an additional shav, so it comes to include shvur sheker. The Amar Rava, Hasam. Now we get to Rava. Hach Shvur Sheker de Kamar Binan Miribua de la Shav Shav, Lo Ribsa Torah, Ela Le Sheker de la Sha'avar. Even though we have a special ribui, it only is inclusive of a Shvur Sheker Le Sha'avar. Kigon, Achalti, O Lo Achalti. Why? Shemisha Shenishba. Because shvur shav is more similar to shvur sheker. When it comes out of your mouth, it's over. The game is over. Meaning, by shvur shav, the moment the shvur comes out of your mouth, this is gold, this desk in front of me right now is gold. It's done. We don't need anything more to make the determination that which you said is a Shavuot Shav. It is a Shavuot Shav just by the simple fact that this is not gold. It's wood. Okay? So, Shemisha Shanish by Yatza Shavuot Mipiv L'Sheker. Dumya de Shavuot Shav. Delahachi Afke Belashon Shav. That's why the Torah, even though the Torah is alluding to Shavuot Sheker, but by using the terminology Shav, it limits what type of Shavuot Sheker we're talking about. We're talking about past. Lamemer delibisha avar kamari. Mahulisha avar nishba lashanas is viadua avar. As a shvua mishi yasami peep. Same thing is true with shvua shekelisha avar. Meaning, I ate that cake. I ate that piece of bread. And meanwhile, I didn't. Now, it's not the same as shvua shav because we don't know that. Right? The one who hears the shvua doesn't know that. But still, objectively speaking, from the moment that he makes that shvua, he has now contradicted the reality of the fact that he didn't eat, or he did eat, whatever the opposite of what he said was. As opposed to a shvua la'asid, where it's yet to be determined that the shvua that he's making now is a shvua sheker. Alright, good. That is Rava. That's how Rava knows that the shvua l'sha'avar, you're going to get malchus. It's based on a ribui of shvua shav. And what we learn from Rashi is that in the comparison, Shvua Shav is more comparable to Shvua L'Sha'avar as opposed to Shvua L'Asid. Okay. Now, back to the Gemara. Bishlama Achalti V'lo Achalti Kidderava. Now, as far as now in the past is concerned, we're going to get Malkus. Right? It's a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa. So what? We just learned that you get Malkus because of the special Ribui of Shav Shav. Fine. Shelo ochel v'ochel nami lav sheyesh b'maisahu. Okay. Let's say we go like this. Now let's talk about our two future oaths. Okay? I make an oath. I promise. You see that cake over there? I make a shvua. I'm not going to eat it. Okay? And then temptation gets the best of you. Hunger gets the best of you. You eat it. Okay? You violated your shvua. Okay? In order to violate your shvua, you needed to do a maisa. So I know how you're going to get malchus over there because you made a shvua and you did an action that violated your shvua. That's lav sheyesh b'maaseh. Ela, ochel, v'lo ochel. But if I make a shvua and I say, I'm going to eat that piece of cake. I'm going to eat it. And I swear that I'm going to eat it. And meanwhile, it turns out that you don't eat it. And obviously, it comes to a point in time. In other words, right, how are you going to warn him? You know, you swore you're going to eat it. Oh, okay, I have time. All right, so that's a technical issue. But right now, just from a conceptual issue, from a fundamental issue, in order for you to violate your shvua, that's inaction. It's a lav shein bo maisa. So where's the malchus going to come in? Right? Where's any punishment going to come in? Am I lav shein bo maisa hu? So that's a lav shein bo maisa. And the problem is, so what? It's a lav shein bo maisa. We're looking at our Mishnah. We're looking at authorship of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah describes four primary categories of Shvuah. We've already now established that according to Rabbi Shmuel, you're going to get Malkus for the two in the past because of a special Limud. You're going to get Malkus for the two in the future, but of the two in the future, only one of them is a Lav Sheyesh B'maisa. The other one, I swear I'm going to eat it, and meanwhile you don't, that's a Lav She'ein B'maisa. So how can we now discuss four categories in our Mishnah when one of the four categories you're not going to get malchus?
So in a case where you said that you will not eat it and you end up eating it, right? You're not being really punished for the act of eating.
Right.
You're really being punished
right.
for the fact that you didn't keep
it. Good.
Your word.
Okay. Good.
So you're not being punished for an act.
Right. Right. Right.
You said something, you didn't hold your word. You're being punished for that.
Right. I understand. But it's the.
But it might still be sheyesh b'maaseh.
Right. It's the.
It's connected to something. It doesn't. No, right.
But
the verbal issue is.
Right.
But it is. The connection is totally based on a declaration, not on an act.
Right, it's a very good point. But I will however go back to what Rabbi Tushel says. You're linking the two together. Meaning you're right, it's really the shvua and it's really the speech which is not an action. That's really the core of your isser, but to get to that isser you had to do an action. But I understand your point. Okay, your point's very well taken. Kasavra Vishma Lav Shem Bamaisa Lokan Alav. Okay, so and now trying to defend its position that Rabbi Shmuel is the author of our Mishnah, so we'll say simply, you know what? It's a Lashem B'maisa. Okay. So Rabbi Shmuel subscribes to the view that you get Malchus for Lashem B'maisa. Okay. Ihachi. Now, if that's true, Kashi de Rav Yochanan de Rav Yochanan. So now we have a stereo between Rav Yochanan and Rav Yochanan. And when yesterday I was sitting down with the daf and I was preparing the daf, and I'm like, what? Rav Yochanan's name did not come up once in today's daf. And it drove me nuts. And I'm like, and now because of this, so it's the Kashi Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan. We didn't see his name yet. I got it though. Ihachi kashi de Rav Yochanan de Rav Yochanan de Amar Rav Yochanan halacha kestam mishnah. Okay. Problem goes like this. We know rule. Rav Yochanan has a lot of rules. One of Rav Yochanan's rules is that when there's a stam mishnah and an unauthored mishnah, an anonymous mishnah, the halacha follows that anonymous mishnah. That's Rav Yochanan's viewpoint. We don't always follow that viewpoint, but that's Rav Yochanan's viewpoint. So that means now. And follow, because it's just a little complicated. It's not that bad. Our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that there are four times by Shavuot you're going to get Malchus. Of those four times, the two in the past, leave that alone, because that's a special limud. The two for the future, one of those two is a Lav Shein B'maisa. Right? Where I say, I swear I'm going to eat it, and I end up not eating it. That's a Lav Shein B'maisa. We know that in our Mishnah and Shavuot, for all four of them, you're going to get Malchus. So, what our Mishnah is basically saying is that you're going to get Malchus for Lav Shein B'maisa. So, we have now the first Mishnah in Shavuos. It's an anonymous Mishnah, right? And basically saying you're going to get Malchus for Lav Shein B'maisa. Okay. Now, this leads us to the conclusion that according to Rav Yochanan, the halacha should be you get Malchus for Lav Shein B'maisa. Because we have an anonymous Mishnah that leads us to that conclusion. It's based on a lot of assumptions. It's assuming that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel, etc., etc. But still, that's the point where we're at right now in the Gemara.
Don't we say that there are certain times when Dibur is kona, en hein tvorim anivnim bamira?
No, Dibur does affect things. But you're not going to get punished. We're talking about punishment for Dibur. Right? You're right. The Dibur affects. But not onish. So ihachi kashi de Rav Yochanan de Rav Yochanan damer Rav Yochanan lachikasta mishnah v'itmar. And not only that, but we have a mishnah shvur sheochel kikar zu hayom v'avra hayom v'lo achla. What if you make a shvur and you say I'm going to eat this loaf of bread? Now here the mishnah is great because it gives a deadline, right? And it says I'm going to eat this loaf of bread by the end of today, and the day ends, and you didn't eat the loaf of bread. So, v'lo achla, Rav Yochanan v'Reish Lakish, nami tavayu, ein aloke. So, both Rav Yochanan and v'Reish Lakish say you're not going to get Malchus. Okay? Even though you were in full violation of your Shavuot, but you're not going to get Malchus. Why are you not going to get Malchus? Now, here's the kicker. Rav Yochanan amar, ein aloke, mishum to have a lav shein b'maisa, v'chol lav shein b'maisa, ein loken alav. Yeah, you know why? Says Rav Yochanan, because it's a lav shein b'maisa. You don't get Malchus for a lav shein b'maisa. Now, v'Reish Lakish disagrees. V'Reish Lakish amar, ein aloke, hasra safiku, v'hasra safik lo shma hasra. Reish Lakish says that you're not going to get Malchus for a technical reason, because the warning that you received is a warning given besafik, meaning the one who's warning you does not know whether or not you're actually in non-compliance with your Shvuah, because it's yet to be determined. You know, I guess he can get to you like the last minute of the day or the last moment of the day. I feel like the Gemara asked that question elsewhere, but
We just did this
very same Gemara we just did at the end of Makos. Anyway, but our focus right now is on Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, you know why you're not going to get Makos? Because it's a lav shein b'maisa, period. Okay, so now I get it. Now it's a steer between Rav Yochanan and Rav Yochanan. Because Rav Yochanan always follows the Stam Mishnah, and our Stam Mishnah gives the indication that you do get Malchus for Lav Shein B'maisa. And meanwhile, Rav Yochanan explicitly says that you don't get Malchus for Lav Shein B'maisa. Okay, I get it. Good. So Rav Yochanan, Stam Achrina Ashkach. Okay.
And 2 weeks ago, when you learned this, he said as long as there's a potential that you reverse it the whole time. Right?
Correct. So
it falls in that category now. Because you always have the potential to eat it eventually the rest of the day.
Correct. So right, it's also true. And right now we're talking about inaction, meaning your shvuah was I am going to eat it. And your violation of the shvuah is by not eating it. So your non-compliance with your shvuah is based on the fact of inaction. You didn't do anything. So now Rav Yochanan is violating his own rule because we're following Rav Yochanan, always follows Tam Mishnah. Okay, good. So to answer this question, Gemara says Rav Yochanan Stama Achrina Ashkach. So Rav Yochanan, why he holds like he says, you don't get Malkus for Lav Shem B'Maisa. That's his position. That's what he holds. Okay. What about Stam Mishnah? He finds another Stam Mishnah. So what we're going to do, we'll start today and we'll finish tomorrow, is we're going to find what other Stam Mishnah throughout Shas Mishnayos does Rav Yochanan see where it's clear Lav Shein B'Maisa, you don't get Malkus. Okay? But then it's interesting because then what it really turns into is the machlokus between Stam Mishnayos. But I guess that just simply means that it leaves Rav Yochanan in the room, right, maneuverability in terms of what his own position can end up becoming. Okay, high stomach, Ilema, high stomach did not. So maybe it's a Mishnah in Makos. Hopefully we'll remember it because we didn't, just a week ago, a short week ago, the Mishnah says, Aval Hamosir B'Tahor, V'Hashover B'Tameh Eino Loke Esar Abayim. Okay, the Mishnah Malkus talks about two cases where you're not going to get Malkus. Case number one, a Shover B'Tame. Carbon Pesach. Carbon Pesach ended up becoming Tame. Right? Somebody Tame touched it. Shouldn't have done it, but he did. And now the Carbon Pesach is Tame. And now somebody goes up to the Carbon Pesach, takes the bone in his hands, and does something the Torah says you're not allowed to do. He breaks it. Right? The Etzem Lo Sish B'Rubo, not allowed to break the bone of the Carbon Pesach, and he breaks it. And that's a violation of the Issa and the Torah. And the Torah says you're not allowed to break the Karm Pesach. However, he's off on a technicality. The Karm Pesach here is Tameh, and he's off. So he's not going to get Malkus. That's one case in the Mishnah. Second case in the Mishnah is Hamosir. I went out of order. I'm sorry. That's the second case. Hashover B'Tameh. The first case is Hamosir B'Tahor. Mosir B'Tahor, you leave over some of the meat of the Karm Pesach. Or for that matter, any carbon. You leave over the meat. You make nosar. Now, how do you make nosar? Through inaction. By doing nothing. Right? You just leave it there and you let it sit. The Mishnah says in both of those cases, you're not going to get Malkus. Bishlama shover b'tame dechziv etzem lo sish b'rubo b'kasher v'lo b'pasol. When it comes to breaking the bone of the carbon Pesach, yeah, that I understand. Because the Torah says etzem lo sish b'rubo. It's learned out, I guess it's based on the fact that Bo is a miut, only if the Karm Pesach is Tahor, not if it's Tame. Aval, Hamosir Bitar, my time. But when the Mishnah tells us that when you make Nosar, you don't get Malkus, why not? Lav Mishum Dahave, Lav She'en Bo Maisa, V'chol Lav She'en Bo Maisa, Ein Lokin Alav. So the Gemara says, you know, I know why. Because it's a Lav Shem B'Maisa. And you don't get Malkus for a Lav Shem B'Maisa. So there's a Stam Mishnah that showed Rav Yochanan, oh, you know what? There's a Stam Mishnah that says you don't get Malkus for a Lav Shem B'Maisa. All right. And to complicate matters, the Gemara says, no, I don't. That Mishnah is not good enough. So halav hachilaki. The Gemara says, you know, as far as making nosar is concerned, you don't get malchus. We know that you don't get malchus. But why? So you're assuming because it's a lav shein b'maisa. You know, you can give another very plausible explanation why you don't get malchus. It's a lav hanitak laasei. It's a lav in the Torah, but where the Torah gives you a remedy in terms of what to do if you violate the lav. The Torah says, "Lo sosir mimenu ad boker, v'hanosar mimenu ad boker, ba'esh tisrofu." You burn it in fire. So the Torah gives us an ase acher the lo sase. It's a lavani tak lase. And let's just quickly run through this. Titania, "Lo sosir mimenu ad boker, v'hanosar mimenu ad boker, ba'esh tisrofu." V'ha'kos of litain ase acher lo sase. The positive commandment following after the negative commandment. Lamash lokin alav divrei Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that's why you don't get malchus because it's a lav v'nitak l'asei. And Rabbi Yaakov disagrees. Rabbi Yaakov amar lo min hashem huzeh el mishum dehavi lav shem b'maisa v'lav shem b'maisa ein lokin alav. Okay, so that mission Malkus, it for sure tells us you don't get malchus for making nosar, leaving over nosar. But why don't you get Malkus? There could be two legitimate reasons why you don't get Malkus. Either A, because it's a lav shein b'maisa, or B, because it's a lav nitak l'asei. So now what we're left with is Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan, you tell us that you don't get Malkus for Lav Shem B'maisa, right? But you also tell us that you follow anonymous Mishnayos. We have an anonymous Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Shavuos, that talks about getting Malkus for violating your for violating your Shavuah. And that's a Lav She'ein B'maisa. Specifically the case of where I say Ochel, I will eat it, and it turns out Lo Achalti, that you did not eat it. Right? And you have that anonymous Mishnah. So how can Rav Yochanan, how can you follow the, how can you not following the anonymous Mishnah? Okay? We try to find an anonymous Mishnah for Malkus. Didn't work. So tomorrow morning we're going to start with finding the right anonymous Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah, which leads Rav Yochanan to the conclusion that it's okay, so you don't get Malkus for Lav Shem B'maisa. And he will just simply say that it's one anonymous Mishnah against another, and so therefore there's no rule. There's no set rule. Okay, good. Very, very good. Stop over here. Rabbi Hanani ben Akasha Amar Tzikash Baruch Hu Zakei Sof Yichach Hirba Minotor Mitzvah Shenemar Mech Hafeitz Amantzikoy Yagdil Teravi Adir.